Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall, and this is the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. Meet the characters involved, hear their stories, and find some insight to help us all get faster on our bikes. This week's episode is supported by YT Industries, and we're going to be chatting with YT mob rider Angel Suarez. As you know, I couldn't keep bringing you the podcast and keeping it free for all of our listeners without our supporting partners, so it's really great to have YT Industries supporting this episode. YT have recently launched their new range for 2019, so why not check them out by heading to yt-industries.com. We'll also put that link on the show notes over on our website, downtimepodcast.com, so you can find it there. If you want to show your support for the podcast, then you can do that by grabbing a t-shirt or a mug from our web store at downtimepodcast.com/shop. Hoodies and sweatshirts are currently out of stock, unfortunately. I know a lot of you have been asking for them, but I'm working super hard to try and sort that out, and hopefully we'll have them available again in the next couple of weeks. While you're on the website, I'd highly recommend that you subscribe to the show. That way you'll get each episode delivered to your device as soon as it's available. We built a page to help you do that at downtimepodcast.com/subscribe. From that page, you can also join our newsletter, and that will help you keep up to date with all podcast-related news and offers. Also, I've noticed that some people listen to the podcast on their phones directly from our website, and that's totally fine if it works for you, but if you're having issues listening that way, which I know some of you are, then I highly recommend using either the Apple Podcast app if you're on an iPhone or the Google Podcast app if you're on Android. Also, the Spotify app works pretty well on both too, and there are plenty of other apps, so pick your favourite, but they are generally a better way to listen than via the website if you're listening on your phone. Right, time for this week's guest. We sit down with Angel to chat about his background, how he's dealt with his injuries in the past, his success in the 2018 season, and his plans for 2019. So, without further ado, here's Angel Suarez. Angel Suarez, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Good stuff, good stuff. So let's, before we get into the mountain bike side of things, you started off in motocross, is that right?
Yeah, I started like pretty young, like about like since I was 3 years old, I started riding moto because my father was racing when he was younger. And from there, I started riding more and more and get to racing in when I was 8 years old. And from there to 14, nearly 15. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you were quite successful in motocross, yeah?
Well, yeah, I was doing quite good. Yeah, I was doing the All European Championship from like I was super young, and won Spanish national champs, once Portuguese champs also too, and doing like top five sometimes in the European Championship. So it was good. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, and what made you pick up a mountain bike? Was it something you always did alongside the motocross, or did it come into your life a bit later on?
Not much, really. I always have a bike for sure. Like, I think everybody has a bike when he was younger and more if you ride moto. But not much. Like, I stopped racing because I had some issues, like with the economy. My father had some problems with the company he had. And then I stopped from there. And like 2 years after, kind of like, I was trying to find something I like to do. And I found downhill. It was pretty, pretty good.
Oh, okay. How did you discover downhill then?
Well, it started like the girlfriend of my sister in that moment. He was kind of a good rider from Spain, and he kind of introduced me on downhill, and it was kind of sketchy at the beginning for me.
So you were riding with pretty fast riders right from the start then?
Yeah, kind of, but that wasn't the big problem. I always felt like I was going slow because the high speed of the moto. So I was crashing too much.
Excellent. So you've always found that it doesn't feel too fast for you. You're used to the speed side of things then.
Well, now it's getting different now. I'm used to it, so it's kind of different. But yeah, with the moto, you always feel like everything is like kind of smooth and you're not going fast enough for me. So when you go into the bikes, it's completely different. If the track is rough, you can really feel it, like it's not like the moto and everything. So it took me like maybe like 2 years and a half to figure out how to ride a bike, honestly.
Okay. And how long had you been riding when you first started entering some downhill races?
Well, I was riding for like maybe like 2 years, but just a little bit, maybe like two times every month or something like that, because it was super hard to get uplifts and write. So I didn't really wrote much. I was doing more like dirt jump stuff and dual and that kind of stuff. And then when I turned 18, I started writing like more. And then after a year, I felt like I feel I can do this and try to be professional. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you had some pretty good results quite early on in your mountain bike career. What do you think drove that? How much of that is kind of what you learned from the motocross background?
Well, I always felt better in course, like super fast and high speed. And it was harder for me, like tracks like Pal de Sol or Andorra, they were like steep. I feel like I'm good in the steep stuff, but not much when you need to brake a lot. But like, for example, in Lenzerheide, I did a kind of like a okay run, but it wasn't really, really good. 2015, and I got top 20. And that was my first really like good result. And I didn't really know how I did it. It was just a nice run, but not amazing.
Wow. Okay. So even at that early stage, getting results like that, you didn't feel like you'd gone as fast as you could have done.
No, not really. Like I was like, okay, I'm stoked. Like that's a good time. And then I figured out about the run, like it wasn't that good. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. So what? Yeah. Do you think some of the skills you learned from motocross were helping, and was there anything from the motocross side of things that made it harder to transfer?
No, I think it helped. It's nothing negative you can take from that. It's just at the beginning, it made it harder, but I think it's not because the motto, it's because I wasn't used to that. But yeah, I think like everything. Also now, I keep riding moto. Like I try to do it once a week, and I still feel like it helps me in the downhill bike. It's lighter and you're going slower, so every time you need to move the bike is easier after riding moto, I think.
Yeah, it seems to be something that a lot of downhill racers do in their either have done before they started or do in their spare time. So there's obviously some gains to be found from it.
Sure, I think so too. It's like, and at the same time, you kind of work in the same muscles that you need to in the bike. So yeah, it's pretty good training also too, I think.
Yeah, cool. So you had some solid results in 2015 with a top 20 at Lenzerheide, and then 2016, the announcement came that you were joining the YT mob. Can you tell us a little bit about how that opportunity came about?
Well, after the first year, I did kind of good in the World Cup. I started talking with Martin, the manager, Martin Wiley. And kind of everything worked really good, like super easy. I just started talking with him, and then he started the team with Aaron and YT. So I was lucky enough to get in the right place in the right moment, and I was there in the team like crazy. I was feeling like I'm not going to have a team for 2016. And then he just called me like, hey, I have this. So I think it's an amazing opportunity, and it was super cool.
Wow. So it literally like pretty much came out of the blue for you then. You weren't expecting it until you got the phone call.
No, not really. Like Martin didn't tell me anything because he didn't want me to say it to anybody, I think, or something like that. So he was kind of like, well, we can find something, but it's not easy. Like we need to work on it. And then he just like called me like, okay, cool. Got it.
Amazing. Yeah. And did you know at that point you were going to be on the team with Aaron?
Sure. Yeah. So the first time he told me something about it, he told me everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you feel about that? Because, you know, joining a big team kind of early on in your career and riding with one of the fastest guys on the planet, that's a big deal.
It is. In one point, I feel like I never see the top guys like something special. I always see them like me and the other people. Like they have two hands and two legs. That's what my father always tell me. So it's something like I didn't really thought about it, but at the same time it was super helpful. Like Aaron helped me a lot, and Martin also too. So it's something that I think like I figured out more after the process than before.
Yeah, go on, tell me a little bit more about what you mean there.
So what I'm trying to say is like I think I figured out more how good the opportunity was after all the years we have done, then okay. Really, I figure out in the right moment that he told me that.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. So, yeah, looking back now then, over, was it 3 seasons riding in the team?
Yeah.
What have you learned from that? I think there's obviously the 3 kind of key people there, Martin, Nico and Aaron. What have you learned from each of those 3 guys? Because they're all super experienced and very good at what they do.
Yeah. One of the biggest things I learned is like you need to trust yourself more than thinking about it. It's something that is going to change and it's going to be right. It's just like trusting you. So once you trust in you, like, but you really do, everything is going to work better. And that's what I feel like I learned from 3 of both of them, and Nico also too. And Martin is kind of like, he works a little bit on the mental side. He's kind of like always giving me tricks, small tricks that at the end, they're going to make difference. Like we have a routine that now every time I'm in the Stargate, I do the kind of things that makes me feel that I'm going to race. So for example, I ride wrap in my handlebar, and every final I'm doing, I read that in my handlebar and I say it in the Stargate. So it's small things that is just clicking your brain and makes you go fast for me, for example.
Excellent. Where did that come from? I've seen photos of the brap written on the inside of your handlebar. How did you end up getting into doing that?
Well, I don't know. It just like we do it all the time with my friends. You just go like brap. Like, sometimes when we jump in, we do it. So it's something that I like to do. It means for me that I'm riding like the way I like, fast as you can. And then I also have in the other side, make it count. So it's kind of like, no matter what, you just need to get to the bottom as soon as possible. Doesn't matter. And it helps me. Like, it sounds simple, but I like it.
Yeah, definitely. Have you got anything else in your kind of pre-race routine or the routine throughout the week that you find helps you perform on race day?
Not really. It's just like try to know the course the best I can. So it helps me a lot to go fast. And not much. Like, I feel, for example, for me, it's more like I see people when they're training, they're kind of like going super fast on practice in the World Cup. And I feel like kind of the opposite. Like, everybody says that Aaron, for example, is always going slow in practice. And I feel like kind of the same. I just like learning the course and feeling it. I like to feel a lot how the bikes flow in the course. And then when it's time to go fast, I feel like I know how everything is going to be. So I just do it the same as I was doing, but faster.
Yeah, yeah. And do you tend to make much change to your bike throughout the week at a race? Or are you the kind of rider that leaves things alone?
I try to change every time I have the opportunity or I feel I need to. But at the same time, I feel like with the bike we have right now, well, we have last year, and the setting I got, I feel like the bike was kind of like nearly perfect for every course. But I think something like 3 of us had last year, like, no much changes, just like little clicks and maybe a bit pressure in the suspensions or tires, but nothing's big. Like, bike works really good, so that helps a lot.
Yeah, cool. All right, good stuff. Let's talk a little bit through your kind of career from joining the YT mob then. So 2016 was your first season with those guys, and you had some good results, but you had a bit of a rough season, I think, didn't you? You had some injuries.
Yeah, I have, like, the biggest problem that year, I was riding a small bike for how tall I am. So that was the biggest thing. Like, that's something that not much people knows. But yeah, that was the biggest problem for me. I was riding a bike that was small, so I was over the front of the bike all the time. So every time I was trying to go fast, I was kind of like going over the bars. And I went over the bars, like, not a lot, but quite a bit. So I got injured.
Yeah. Too many times.
Yeah.
So what was it, dislocated both shoulders that season?
Yeah, that was I'm going to say that, yeah. I dislocated my shoulder in a race, like Spanish race they were doing in Andorra before the World Cup. I went there for training for the World Cup race, and I dislocated my left shoulder. And I went to Fort William directly, like without riding, just like four weeks without riding, just resting because of the crash, and then I kept going the season, and then dislocated my right shoulder again in Val d'Isère. So after that, I got surgery in both shoulders. Yeah.
Wow. And did were those shoulders causing you problems throughout the season post the dislocations?
Yeah, I wasn't riding much also because of the injuries. And I also having the problem with the bike. I wasn't confident in myself. So that was my worst season for sure. Yeah.
And did you realize at the time that it was the size of the bike that was affecting things?
I knew it was small and we were trying, but it's always hard. Like you can say something like, I want this and I want it now. So it took time for them to develop because they didn't need to do it before that. So after that, like, it was good. Once I got the bike, everything was perfect. But I was injured from the year before, so that's why I didn't race in 2017.
Yeah, so you had operations on your shoulders in the off season, is that right? To repair the damage from the dislocations.
Yeah.
And that left you without the ability to ride much in the run up to the 2017 season.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then was it a testing issue? Is that right? I read you were out testing with Nico. Sure. A few weeks before Lourdes.
So I don't know how, but all the work that the doctor did in the surgery in my right shoulder disappeared. Like I broke the stitches they put in the inside of the shoulder. So I was kind of like feeling like my shoulder wasn't like perfect. And I remember like I was riding with Nico and testing like the 2 days before we were flowing to Lourdes. So it was like first World Cup nearly. And I had a crash because I was kind of like thinking about the shoulder and broke my left wrist. So I broke the wrist and it kind of hurt my shoulder also in that crash. So then I went back home. I got surgery in the left wrist. It was super easy. Like I broke both radio and ulna, but it was cool. Like surgery and doctor said like it will be fine. And 2 days after I got the surgery, I was trying to close the door of the car and my shoulder popped off. It came off. So it was like,
no.
Again. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So then I had surgery again.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, early in the season 2017. Yeah. Did you think at that point you'd be able to get back for some of the races?
Well, I knew shoulder surgery is kind of like 5 months to heal up and be ready to race. So I was thinking maybe the end of the season, but at the end it didn't make sense. It's just like keep it like that and work for the 2018 season.
Wow. That's what we did. How do you deal with something like that? Because it's obviously very demoralizing just being injured anyway, but having kind of back-to-back injuries, doing all the hard work to get ready for the season, not being able to ride, and then having to kind of sit by and watch, you know, a whole season. How do you deal with that and keep motivated?
Well, I think the most important thing is I love what I do. So that helped me so much. And at the same time, the stuff that I didn't have the right bike in 2017 and I wasn't be able to show what I'm capable of. So that really keep me motivated. Like I knew if I my body was right and ready to race and fit, I would be possible to do like what I wanna, and I think I was be able to do top 20 like kinda every race. So that's what really keep me motivated, honestly.
Yeah. And how do you approach coming back from injury like that? Are you the sort of person that goes back to kind of 100% straight away and tries to go full speed and forget about it, or do you have a different approach?
I think it's hard for me. Like, I think one of my biggest problems is to trust myself, honestly, because whatever is the way I am. So I need to always work a bit more on my confidence. And at the beginning, it's always hard for me after injury. Like, it takes me time to feel ready. I feel like I remember like the first 2 days I was riding with my friends, I was like so slow. Like, they were faster than me. And normally it's not like that.
and you don't get demoralized through that, then you just keep going. You seem like a very positive kind of person. You're always, you know, upbeat and cheerful in all the videos and things like that.
Yeah, for sure it goes into your mind like, man, like I want to be one of the best guys in the world. I'm getting beat by my mates. And that's something, it's not that bad. It's just like they know their speed, they ride, and I know my speed. So that was normal. But at the same time, it takes time. And it came along super well. Like, I was feeling like after 2 months maybe riding, I was feeling like so good, like impressive with myself, like better than I've never been. So
cool. And did you have a full off season between 2017 and 18 uninjured then and able to train and ride as you wanted?
So yeah, kinda, because just before Croatia, I was going to test in Croatia like 3 weeks before the race there, and I was doing a sprint 2 days before I was going to flew to Croatia, and I broke the chain of my bike during the sprints and had a big crash, and then I broke a ligament of my knee.
Oh man.
Yeah,
and this like, is yeah 3 weeks before the start of the season,
kind of, yeah, like maybe a bit more, but yeah, super close to the first races. And like something's like super simple, but I hurt my knee like a lot, and I was like telling Martin, like, Neil, I don't think I can go testing to Croatia, like my knee is super bad, it just hurts. But then it came better, and I kept riding, and after, like, I think it was after Croatia, I went back to the doctor and see it really, because he was hurting a lot. And yeah, I broke the ligament, but it's okay now. Like, I didn't have surgery or anything. The doctor said it'll be fine. And now it's pretty good. Like, yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. I'm glad to hear you're all right. So yeah talk us through the 2018 season then. Cause it obviously started off in Croatia. Probably not feeling great if you had the knee injury coming in and a new track to learn. How did you get on with that weekend?
It was good. Yeah, honestly, like, I was gripping that race, so that means my training was super early and I wasn't be able to ride with Nico and Aaron. But the way, it was good, like super smooth and everything. I had a really good qualified run, like super safe, and I wasn't trying anything crazy, just like easy speed. And I got 26 or something like that. So I was super stoked.
Yeah.
Like super happy. Yeah. And then I had a flat in finals, but it's okay. It happens sometimes.
Especially on a track like that, I guess there were plenty of people with flat tires that weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Also too, like super rocky. Like the crazy thing is I didn't have any flat tires in all the practice runs I did. And it like hit the side of the tire with a sharp rock and cut it. So,
yeah. Were you guys using a tire insert at all?
Yeah, we used FTD. Yeah. I keep using it. I really like it, but I think anything can help you with that if you cut the side of the tire.
So, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on to Fort William, and another sort of reasonably tough weekend for you, was it?
Yeah, it was in one way and it wasn't in the other one, because I didn't have a really good qualified run, but I knew it was going super fast because I was riding with Aaron in practice and I was able to follow him for the first time. Like, I was impressed.
Cool.
And I could see him, like, he was stopping the course and watching back to see where I was, and it was just behind him, and he was kind of like impressed, like, whoa, like, you're going fast, man. Like,
nice. Dude.
And then it rained for qualifying and I didn't really push, so I had really like 40 something qualifying. And then I did second the first split, and we both, Aaron and I, crashed in the rock garden because a loose rock was in the rock garden, but it was stuck. So both hit in the same way and stuck. The front wheel got stuck and we went over the bars. So it was something super weird. We kind of like had a different line than everybody. So we went like a bit higher and we both hit it with the front wheel and went over the bars.
Yeah, I remember seeing the two crashes. Yeah. They were pretty much identical. It's quite odd to see.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And then Leergang and Val d'Isol didn't go your way.
Yeah, I had an issue with the bike. So I cracked the ulna of my left arm in Fort William, that crash. But I didn't figure out after Leogan. So I raced Leogan like that, and I was super sure. And I was kind of like feeling okay, like not my best weekend for sure, because it was super painful to ride like that. But it was okay, like enough to do like maybe like 20-something or maybe a bit better. But yeah, I had an issue with the bike and didn't qualify. And the same thing in Baldis also too. Yeah.
And then things started going your way finally.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the first weekend I did everything. Like nothing happened really. Yeah.
Yeah. So the arm was feeling better by the time you got there?
Yeah, sure. Like, it was feeling all good for body soul also too. And I did second in one split in body soul also too. So before Andorra, I had like really good splits, so I knew I was fast, just like I need the moment to do it right.
Yeah.
So yeah, in Andorra, I kind of like felt ready. Everything went right. And at the middle of the run, I was kind of like thinking like, hey man, like, just don't throw it away. Just get to the bottom. Like, you're doing, like, don't do it. So that kind of like, I messed it up a little bit at the bottom because I wasn't riding fast enough. I know I could do it better, but it was perfect because I got my first top 15. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And a good track to do it on as well. Super steep and challenging. Yeah. That's a full on track, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty hard. Like, I remember, like, you kind of get to a super steep bridge that's kind of like maybe like 45 seconds before the finish line or maybe a bit more. And I remember, like, I got the taste of blood in my throat. Like, it was super intense. And in that moment, it was kind of like I threw the run away because I was like, oh, I'm super tired. Like, just like keep on the wheels, like, don't crash. Yeah.
Amazing. So you're feeling that tired on the course then?
Yeah, but it wasn't that much. It was just because I start thinking and not riding. Yeah. So when you focus on riding, you don't really feel anything. But once I kind of like start saying like myself, like, don't throw it away, I kind of like start feeling everything. Like, my legs were tired, my like throat was tasting like blood. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And my last part of the run, like, I could see in the TV after, it wasn't the way I know I can ride, but it was perfect. Like, honestly, I'll do it the same way. I just like learn from that, and after that was everything right.
Yeah. Do you think anything changed that weekend, or is it just that nothing went against you that weekend?
Well, I knew I was be able to, but I never did it before that year. So yeah, it helped me a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
Just like,
sorry, go on.
No, just like, right, I failed it, and I was like, now I can keep improving from that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and you obviously took some confidence from that and carried it on to Mont St. Anne and brought home your first ever top 10 as well.
Sure, yeah, that was amazing. That was, for example, for me, kind of the example of a perfect weekend, because I started feeling pretty good, kind of like weird the first day because it was raining a lot. But I love to ride in the mat also too, so I have a lot of fun riding in the mat, and then have the most fun I think I ever did in qualifying, like, not fast, just like fun, and it was super good. Like, I was like 20 something, so I was super stoked. Like, I had a lot of fun, and I wasn't really pushing. Like, for sure I was pushing. You need to push to qualify in a World Cup right now, but I wasn't like racing. Like, it was just like riding, and yeah, then I had a really good race day practice in race day, and then a good run, like, with small mistakes, but I think everybody has mistakes, so it's nothing you can change with that. Just like the run I did, and I think it was really good. I'm really happy with that one.
Yeah, yeah, it must feel good having, you know, a couple of really tough seasons, and, you know, knowing you can be up there to finally get to somewhere where you're like, wow, top 10 in the world, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, the feeling I had, it was like super cool. Like, I felt also too that I was be able to do it, and I deserved that. So I was super stoked on doing it.
Yeah, and it was cool to see. Like, there was obviously a lot of support for you there as well. A lot of people were really happy to see you in that place.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I was super impressed. Like, a lot of people came to the track and gave me congratulations and everything. Like, it's amazing. Like, I think the people understand also too, when they're racers, like, how hard it is to get it, and when you having a hard time like I did, it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's good. And then on to Le Brest, how did that go? That was a bit of a different weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Like, it rained for qualifying and finals, and I was pretty confident for Le Brest. I did good training after Mont St. Anne. And the tracks I have in home, they're kind of like similar. They're not super steep, and like that kind of dirt, the same dirt and everything. So it was good. Like, I was feeling really good. I did a 12 or something in time practice. I normally don't do time practice, so that was pretty good. And then rain for qualifying. I just did a safe run, and I qualified okay. and then had a stupid mistake on finals. So I kind of threw it away, but I'm still super happy because I did top 15 again. I did 14, so it's really good.
Yeah, you like riding in the rain, don't you? You're a big fan of wet weather riding.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I love it. Like, today I was in bed and I could hear the rain, and it was like, okay, I go riding. Like, it wasn't supposed to. I just need to do gym today, but I was like, okay, I do it like just an hour or something, but I need to. Like, I love it. Yeah, and that time was the first time I raced a World Cup in the mud also too.
Right, okay. What is it you like about riding in the wet then?
Well, I like it in the dry, but you don't get that much in the wet, I think. So I just really like it. It's like the feeling of the wheels drifting is super cool, and like it makes everything a bit harder. So that's what I think why I like it, because everything is a bit harder. Yeah.
Any tips for people riding in the wet? Are there any ways to stay fast when the weather's turning against you?
So for me, normally you need to really brake in a good point. Like if you get into the turn, you really need to brake before and in a smooth place. So when it's in mud, I think it needs to be even more. So you really need to brake super smooth and really nice, and then trying to get support always before you turn or something like that to get the right weight on the wheels and be able to turn.
Yeah. And will you change much on your bike when you're riding in mud?
Yeah, that's one thing I think I did a mistake in lab brakes, for example, because I normally go softer in tire pressure and suspensions, and I think it didn't went low enough, for example.
Okay.
So I didn't use all the travel, for example, in the fork in the race run. I should. And yeah, and maybe the tire also too. I could go a bit softer.
Yeah. Yeah. What sort of pressures do you guys run? Because obviously you're hitting things pretty hard. Where roughly would you have tire pressures?
So I normally use bar. So
okay.
I do like in the front 1.7 and 2.1 in the back.
Okay.
So that might be 28 in the front and 32-31 in the back or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then how much would you drop that by in the mud?
Well, I don't drop much in the front. Maybe I drop like 2.0 in the back. Like I drop like 0.2 or something like that.
Okay, yeah, so not a big change.
Yeah. But now, for example, I'm riding Maxi Stars. It's different, like the press I'm running, and I feel like it's really good, for example, because with the feeling of that tire, I can go lower in pressure and still having good support in the wheel and more grip. So I think something, for example, is really cool. Like I can see a difference in the tire, for example, and the ones I have now they're good, like really, really nice. Yeah.
So the tire pressure sort of it not only varies based on the track, but it varies based on the build of the tire, like the sidewall stiffness and things as well.
Yeah, sure. So and I think in every brand it's a bit different. And also the wheels you're using, like carbon wheels are stronger than aluminium. So you may go a bit softer in aluminium because if you don't, it may be too stiff, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And you've been getting used to a new downhill bike over the winter, right? You've been testing the 29er YT.
Yeah. I've been just signs after World Champs. I've been riding 29er and it was good. Like since the first day I rode it, it was like amazing. Super good. Yeah.
Yeah. What are the differences that you've noticed from the 275 to the 29 bike?
Well, the frame changed a little bit. It's just not much, but the progression of the frame is more progressive than the new bike. So what is cool for me, I prefer it that way. But on the wheels, I think it's better. Like the floor is always smoother with the big wheels and you always get more grip. And I can feel like that it's harder to turn, for example, in tight turns, because when you have more grip, it's easier to turn. So for me, it's like no negative points.
Sounds better. Okay. And you still find it as much fun to ride as a smaller wheel bike?
Yeah, sure. I kind of like took me a little bit, for example, to jump as good I was feeling on the 27. But now after like well, not now, but after just like maybe 2 months, I started jumping like the same, I think. Yeah. I feel like super fun. More for me because I can go faster also too.
Yeah, I've seen some videos of you on your Instagram, and it definitely looks like you're having fun and going fast on it. So,
yeah, thank you.
Cool. So, what? How do you approach getting used to or getting set up on a new bike? Is there certain things that you go through, like a process that you follow, or do you just hop on and ride it and see how it feels?
Yeah, that's a good point, I think, because it's hard sometimes because you have like measures you can do from other bike and put in that bike, but maybe that really doesn't work. So it kind of like I start from that base. So I take measure from the floor to my handlebar and from the cranks to the handlebar and the height of my seat. And then I kind of work with that. And then I normally put a sag on the shock that I like. That is around for me, for example, 20 or 17%. I like it to ride pretty hard the shock. And then, yeah, with that point, I think I'm pretty close to what I really want.
But, yeah. And did it take you long to get the hang of riding the bigger wheel size, or did you find it was a relatively quick thing to learn once you got a feel for the change in sort of gyroscopic effects?
Well, what I did is before riding the downhill bike, I started riding my enduro bike in 2019 also too. And I didn't before. So I did that to kind of like figure out and get used to the feeling of the wheel. So that kind of helped me. But at the same time, I kind of feel like I worked more in the setup of the bike. Like took me a while, I think, to the higher of the handlebar, for example, because with the bigger wheels, it's always going to be higher. And I thought I should drop it a little bit, but then I went higher and it was like kind of hard to figure out. But then I got it like maybe like 3 or 4 weeks after I was like completely fine.
Excellent. So all is feeling good then?
Yeah. It just like feel good and now it's feeling like even better. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So given that your success in the back end of the 2018 season and the results you showed you were clearly capable of, how does that make you feel coming into 2019?
I'm feeling pretty, really, really good. Like, honestly, like the training is been super good during the preseason and also now. So, yeah, I feel like I'm ready yet. Like, I would like to go racing now and also 3 months ago. But yeah, it's good also to have time to prepare and be able to be in the best shape possible. But yeah, I'm really stoked. Like, I think I have my objectives really clear, and I'll like to try to be top 10, like in the overall, and trying to be top 10 every race.
Excellent, good stuff. Well, you're showing you can do it, so
yeah,
it's going to be an exciting season.
Yeah, saying that I wanted to do it and I feel like I do it, it doesn't mean it will be for sure, but yeah, and I always like I want to try it. Like I want to get in a podium. Like it's not close yet, I think, because once you get top 10, that doesn't mean the next step is podium, I think. But I want to do it. So I'll be trying to do that every race.
Excellent. We'll keep an eye out for you on the podiums then. It's a competitive group now, isn't it? There's a lot of riders that are capable of being on that top 5 steps. So it's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. I think so too. It's like, it's super, it's crazy, but at the same time, I feel like it's super cool to see how many people is going that fast and be able to do it. Like, it's crazy. And also super young. Like, I feel like I'm young, but they're younger than I am. So it's crazy.
Yeah. And it's cool for us as fans as well, I think. Like, it's nice when it's not just one person winning everything and it's a really competitive group. So it keeps it interesting for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think so too. I'm really looking forward to see how the season is going to be like, because last year with Aaron crashing and Greg also too with the injury, it wasn't be able to really see where they were going to be. Next year will be different. So I'm really looking forward to see what they're capable of compared with the Amaury and Loris Loic and all these super fast guys.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Have you got any plans for some downhill racing before the start of the season?
So I'm going to Valparaiso, Red Bull race, the urban downhill race in Chile, really soon. It's 10th of February. Yeah. So I'm stoked. Yeah. I've been talking with Red Bull for time and they were like, come on, like we want you to go. And the organizer also asked me to go. So yeah, I'm stoked to go.
Excellent. And is that something like, how seriously do you take those sort of events? Will you be there trying to win it, or is it there to take part and have fun and get some speed up, or how do you approach it?
I think it's more about having fun and just do something special and different. And it's good for social media and Red Bull, like to have a good relationship with them, maybe for something in the future or something like that. So yeah, it's just something like I do for like fun and to get contact with them and grow like my image a bit more.
Yeah cool. And you've gone from being, I guess, the young talent on the team to being the number one rider for next season. Does that change things for you? Does it add any pressure? Like, how are you feeling about that? Without, you know, being there without Aaron and Nico,
I'm feeling pretty good with that. Like honestly, for example, the best race I did yet, it was riding alone all weekend because Nico always have his mates to ride in practice, so I wasn't riding with anybody that weekend. For example, Monson, and so I really trust my opinion, and it's good because I had Aaron to compare and I'm always kind of like close to his idea, so it's good. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident to just do it by myself, and I think when you don't have anybody around you, it's easier to trust in your ideas. So I think it's good.
Cool. So you'll kind of practice on your own and not seek out other groups to practice with and check your speed against, or will you do a bit of a mixture?
Yeah, I don't really like to compare speed. Like always, for example, like when you have Aaron with you, it's like it's kind of different because we were enjoying to practice together. Like
yeah,
we were having fun and doing it together, but that doesn't mean we were riding one in the front and on the other in the back, like every run. We had like runs we were riding together. I was in the front, he was. And then we had our runs that we were riding alone in the same situation as you race.
Yeah, yeah. And well, I guess they're still around, aren't they? As long as they'll let you tag in with the Intense boys, then you can get involved. Cool, good stuff. So you've got quite an interesting program with YT in 2019 outside of the World Cups. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm super stoked about it. I think it's super cool parade and different. Like we're going to travel to all the world to find the new young talent. So Martin and I and Isaac and the team, or like kind of all the team, we're going to travel around all the world and do young talent camps. And we're going to try to get like at least two riders for 2020 to race in the team. So we want to try to find junior riders that they will be fast enough to race in the World Cup level. So we're going to do that, those young talent camps, and trying to find the best ones. And it's going to be a final in South Spain, in close to Martin House. And then we'll see which one is good enough and get them on team.
Awesome. So yeah, so two people from those camps will get chosen to be on the team with you in 2020.
Yeah, they say that at least it's two, so yeah. Maybe it can be more, but I don't know. Like I think it's super cool. Like yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, no one's ever done anything like that before, have they? That's the first time, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And the good thing is you're gonna have a documentary about it. So it's gonna be episodes about it and we're gonna show in the process and yeah.
Wicked. Do you know where it is you're gonna be holding the camps yet?
So yeah, the first one's gonna be in New Zealand after Crankworx. I don't really know the exactly places, but yeah, it's gonna be New Zealand, Argentina, then in Fort William, Japan, and then we have in the snowshoe, I think, and South Africa, the last two ones. Yeah.
Oh wow, you really are covering the globe then. Good effort.
Yeah, yeah, I'm stoked. Like honestly, the travel, I'm not a fan of traveling. But at the same way, I'm super stoked to give the opportunity to other kids that I had before and try to help them to be better riders. So I think it's amazing.
Cool. Exciting stuff. Wicked. Right. Well, we're getting near the end of our time, but we've got three questions that we've asked to most of our guests. So we'll hit those if that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. The first one of those is if you had 170 euros, which is about £150 today, to improve your performance on a bike, or for our listeners to improve their performance on a bike, what would you recommend they spend that money on?
I think I'd do it in a suspension service if I get enough money.
Okay, for like a setup or for like a strip down and rebuild kind of service?
I think more a rebuild.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Do you find it makes a big difference there? I guess, I mean, you guys get your suspension, certainly at races anyway, looked after very well by the guys at the racing, but maybe on your kind of off season, you're not getting them serviced as often. Do you notice the difference when they've not been serviced for a while?
Yeah, I can tell, like, it's a lot different. Like, for example, like, I think it was in 2015, I was in Morsin riding with my home bike for a week or something like that. And I did service just before going to Morsin. So I went directly from Morsin to Andorra to the race, and I got my race bike there. And it was, like, with the service just like they did it the day before. And I was going to the mechanic and say, like, hey, Ben, like, did you put the right pressure on the fork? And it's like, yeah, yes, I did. It's like, it's no way, like, it's too soft. And it was because he got serviced. Like, he was going super smooth, like, compared to the other fork.
Oh, wow, fair play. So just even a week of riding, it started to feel pretty stiff.
Yeah, it kind of, like, it's not, it just, like, the small hits, they're not going to be as smooth as the other one.
Yeah. Right, well, I better go and get my suspension service then, because that's not been done for a while. Cool.
You kind of do it like every maybe 2 weeks.
Wow, okay. At least, Fair play. Yeah, I'm definitely not at that level. I need to sort that out. All right. If you could sit down with yourself at the age of 16, what advice would you give him?
Trust in yourself, I think. Yeah, for sure.
Easy to say and hard to do, I suppose. Yeah. Like, is there anything you'd be able to give in advice to help him do that? Like, how do you, you know, start to believe in yourself and trust yourself?
I think the most important thing, like, everybody's the same. Like, we all of them kind of the same. We are humans. And as I said before, like, my father always been telling me, like, since I was a kid, like, everybody has two arms and two legs if you, like, normal situation physically, honestly. Sorry, yeah. But yeah, I think, like, for me, when I having a hard time riding my bike and I feel like a section is super awkward and I'm not be able to ride it quite well, if you really, like, think about it and you stop in that section and start seeing people riding it, you'll see that they're having trouble also too. And maybe not all the riders, there's someone that they'll be able to do it, but it's hard. It's hard for everybody. So at the same time, if it's a section, if you're having a hard time with something else, it's just like, do the best you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's easy to get caught up in your head, isn't it? And think you're the only person having that problem.
Yeah.
You're right. If you look at the bigger picture, then a lot of people will be struggling with the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Cool. All right. And then the last question, if you could have a coaching session with anyone, who would it be and what would you want to learn from them?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. Cause you've ridden with some pretty quick people. So
yeah. I don't know. I heard that Loic has really strong legs, but I don't know if I really want to know why. Or maybe he's like that because it's natural on him. So I don't know. That's a hard one. It might be riding with someone. For example, I really like Loris Berger's style, so it might be just riding with Loris.
Okay. Yeah, just literally to pick up kind of how he rides with that style.
Yeah, I think I can really pick up stuff from him. Not because I know more, but just because his riding style is different, but maybe for fun more than for knowing something, just riding behind him. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. What about outside of racing? Is there anyone who rides but maybe doesn't race that you think, oh, I wish I could ride like that or pull that trick or have that style?
Yeah, I think Brandon Simon is really amazing, but at the same time, I don't really want to be like him. So, not really. I want to be a racer, like a real racer. So, I think I changed a lot of my style. I was kind of like more stylish before I went into the team. I kind of like been losing that year by year and trying to be more focused on the time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so, do you think that kind of modern tracks and modern bikes force you to ride that way in order to be quick? Like, whereas maybe some of the older tracks, more technical, had a bit more room for bringing that style out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're more flowy now than they were before. So to show your style is more easier, I think, now than it was. But I think it was just like riding with Aaron, for example, and seeing the way he rides. And he doesn't matter. He just matters on going fast. And I was doing that before, but not at the level I'm doing it right now. So now I'm going more in the small things than I was doing before.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess if you're thinking in the back of your head about how it looks for the photograph, it's probably not the right approach for a fast race run.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking before. It was just natural me. Like, I was like kind of like drifting all the time, for example, like kind of like doing it, but not trying. Just like the way I was riding was that, and like using a lot of the rear brake and go sliding a lot of distance when you don't need to. You just need to carry speed and go fast. So I think it's fun to do it. Like, you might have more fun, but you're not going as fast as you want.
Yeah. Cool, good stuff. All right, well, we'll let you crack on with your day. I know you've got a gym session to fit in, and we'll look forward to seeing how you get on, and look forward to seeing the videos from the team camps and the training camps. But if people want to get in touch, want to follow you, want to find out more about you, where can they find you on social media?
Well, my name in Instagram is Angel Suarez DH, so that means Angel Suarez DH. Yeah.
Okay, and that's the best place for them to find you, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's, where you're going to really see who I am and what I do, yeah.
Yeah, and if people want to find out about the training camps, is that on the YT Mob website?
Yeah, I think it will be on YT on the page and on the Instagram, and also in the page on the website and the Instagram page of the YT Mob, yeah, for sure.
Okie dokes, cool. Well, we'll put links to all of that stuff in the show notes for this episode so people can find it if they want to check it out.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right. Good stuff. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks a lot for your time. All the best for next season, and we look forward to seeing how you get on.
Okay. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Nice one.
Have a good day.
Cheers, man.
Bye.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Just want to say a massive thank you to YT Industries for supporting this episode. If you want to find out more about their training camps and how to enter them, then head to the YT Mob website at yt-mob.com and you'll find all the information that you need right there. We'll also put that link in the show notes over on our website, downtimepodcast.com. Don't forget to give us a follow on social media. Just search for at Downtime Podcast. Get subscribing to make your own life easier, and grab yourself a t-shirt or a mug and help spread the word. If you get a chance, then an iTunes review is also a great way to help us out. All right, we've got another great episode coming up for you real soon, but until then, get out and ride.